and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're going to talk about, faith. And tonight I want to talk about the spirit of faith. I'm going to make it simple. Simple things are always profound. There was three sets, this has nothing to do with my message, but there was three sets of mountain climbers years ago going to climb the Himalayas. It's a true story. True story, Chris. They had the, there was American team, European team, and the Russians. And they got up there, you know, on the American team. I mean, they had all the science. They were oxygenating their blood. They had everything you can think of, the right food, the right equipment. And they got as far as they could, but they couldn't make it to the top. The European team did almost as good, but not quite. The Russians, with no science, went all the way, summited, true story, came back, picked up the American team, and brought them to the top. Now, the only thing the Russians had was pig fat and vodka. It's amazing what they did with pig fat, true story, pig fat and vodka. So tonight, I'm not giving you a bunch of information as much as I'm just going to give you some pig fat and some vodka. You got to watch where you preach these things. But anyhow, I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, listen, 2 Corinthians 4, 13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak. The spirit of faith. Several years ago, Ginger and I were in Bulgaria, and we were going to do a road trip. We got a couple out there. In fact, it's the only C3 church in Eastern Europe. It's C3 Stars Agora, which are very good friends of ours. We've known for 20 years. So we were with Lubo and Tanya Petkov, and we were going to do this road trip. So we drove from Bulgaria into Greece. From Greece, we went to Albania. From Albania, we drove into Macedonia. I mean, that's why my wife's with me. She fills in the blanks. But anyhow, Macedonia, we came back. Now, what I was excited about was to go to Albania. I wanted to go to Albania. Now, Greece was amazing because we were in Thessalonica, we were in Philippi, we went to the jail where Paul and Silas were. It was amazing, amazing, amazing. But I wanted to go to Albania. And the reason why I wanted to go to Albania, because years ago I heard of this young girl. Her name was Agnes. And Agnes was born in Albania, and she had somewhere in her early life, maybe in her 20s, I forget the whole time, but she went to Ireland, and when she got to Ireland, she had an epiphany. You know what an epiphany is? It's a flash. It's a vision. It's something that grabs you, and it affected her deeply from God. Affected her. She didn't know what to do with it, but it stayed. It resonated in her heart. She came back to Albania, and then several years later, it occurred again. And this time, she decided to go to India. She later changed her name. The world knows her as Mother Teresa. She's an amazing individual because she captured the attention of the world. She went to the streets of Calcutta. She began to, what she said, bring dignity to the dying. She said, no person needs to die without knowing God. They asked her one time, a woman in a land where women have no rights, where Hinduism is practiced. And they went up to her and they said, what good can you do? What good can you do? She reached into her pocket. She pulled out three coins and she said, I have three coins and I have God. I can do anything. And that woman affected the world. Every king, every president, every prime minister echoed her name out of their mouth before she died. It's the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. You don't need a massive bank account to affect things. When God creates an epiphany, creates a flash, creates a moment, drops something in the heart of a man or a woman, it's amazing what happens. We have come in and out of Australia for the last 28 years. One of the reason that brought us here initially was a couple that we met by the name of Graham and Irene Baker. Irene was the youngest person that ever became a registered nurse at that time in the nation of Australia. And she was 19, became an RN. Graham was a builder. He could build from the ground up. When Irene told me the story, when she was 9 years old, God gave her a vision, a moment, just like a Mother Teresa, that she would become a missionary to the nation of Papua New Guinea, PNG. In her teenage years, she held off. She was a nice-looking young girl. She got into university. There was young men that liked her, but she held off because she knew in order to fulfill that, she had to marry the right person. Young people, you got to listen to this story. And so when she met Graham, a builder, a nurse, a builder, they together became a team. They went up there in 1964 when they were still practicing tribal cannibalism. It was the last nation on earth that practiced tribal cannibalism. They spent the first 5 years in the Eastern Highlands, no contact with the outside world, none whatsoever. But by the time they left, 32 years later, they had built the largest church in the nation, a Bible college, and planted 1,000 churches. They were averaging a new church plant every 5 days. They affected the entire nation, only nation on earth that has the Bible inside their constitution. I had the privilege years ago of meeting Sir Arnold. He was knighted by the Queen and King by the Queen of England. He was the youngest Chief Justice in the history of the British Commonwealth, and I was all excited. Pastor Andrew, I was excited to meet him, and then I told Graham Baker afterwards, I said, guess who I met with, had a Bible study with this morning, Sir Arnold. He's, Arnold, led him to the Lord at 7. What I'm simply showing you is something happens when you and I grab a thought, an epiphany, a moment, a flash. God communicates through seeing. That's why in order for the church to affect the world, the church had to be affected by God. And in the infancy of the church, after the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he talked about the prophetic dreams and vision, because those are the language of God. Now listen to me, God operates through sight. It's seeing, it's sight that changes us. It could come inside of a heart in a moment. It can come outwardly and then come in the heart. But historically and biblically, what God uses to change, to build faith, to direct people, to revolutionize their life and change nations and affect cities and build businesses has always come through faith. And faith is the product of allowing something to be introduced, something that affects me, something that explodes, something that I see internally. Even Paul, when he was writing his epistle in the Holy Spirit-inspired prayer, he talked about that the eyes of your heart to be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling. When God got a hold of an Abram, and he changed his name to Abraham, and he wanted him to be the father of many nations, he had to change sight. He had to change it. So he said, I want every night you're going to count the stars. Every day you're going to count the sands of the sea. He had to look up at night. He had to look down during the day. He was implanting vision. He was exposing him. Something bigger began to percolate in this individual's heart. He had to bring him in that arena of the spirit of faith. He had to see something. You look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah is one of the incredible stories of the Old Testament. Here was this guy who was a cupbearer in the king's court, which simply means that he had to not only make the king happy, but he also had to eat before what the king would eat. So if it was poisonous, he would die and the king wouldn't. And he heard about Jerusalem. He heard about the broken down walls and the burnt gates. He heard about it. But he said, I've got to see it. There's something about it. So I've got to see it. I've heard about it. So he got a donkey. And he went down there, and for 3 days he sat on the back of that donkey, and he just saw things until it impregnated a vision on the inside of his heart. And his faith got so strong that he dared go back to a king that had the ability to wipe his life out. The boldness came on him, and power came on him, and anointing came on him. And he said, I got to go back down there. The greatest construction project ever known in human history, 52 days he rebuilt the entire thing. Faith. Are you hearing me? Unless sometimes there's an exposure that happens, something that ignites us. You come all the way to the book of Revelation. and you hear about this church called the Church of Laodicea. And God makes an interesting thing. You know, he said, I would rather have you a hot or cold. But because you're neither, you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Now, we can get the idea, and for years people have, that the cold is bad and the hot is good. That's not true. We've been to Laodicea. In Laodicea, there's two streams of water that flow. There's a hot stream and there's a cold stream. They're both good. Cold is what you use to refresh. Hot is what you use to cleanse. He said, I'd rather have you cold, bring refreshing to people's lives. Or I'd rather have you hot, that brings cleansing to people's life. But for water to become lukewarm, it takes no effort. Cold takes effort. Heat takes effort. Lukewarm, I just take it. If I take cold water and I sit it there, leave it alone, do nothing with it, becomes lukewarm. Hot water, leave it alone, do nothing with it, becomes lukewarm. Sometimes we read the Bible and we like to amplify certain things, but the thing that Jesus came harder on than anything else, I didn't call it this. The old timers back in the 1950s and 60s, I read their messages. They used to call it the sin of uselessness. And it's six times in the Bible, six times in the Gospels, the sin of uselessness. It means you've been given something, but you do nothing with it. We have gifts, talents, abilities, but we bury them. We do nothing with it. The sin of uselessness. He was harder on that than anything else. It takes exposure to awaken something. So the church at Laodicea, he said, you got to be cold. That takes effort. I'm going to cleanse. I'm going to bring refreshing to people. Or refreshing. I'm going to be hot. I'm going to cleanse. But he said, if you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Then he gave the solution. And you keep reading it. And it says, anoint my eyes with eye salve, that I might see. There's something about sight, whether it's external that becomes internal or internal that becomes external. I don't care how it comes, but there's something to sight. The smaller my exposures, the smaller my world. If I took a camera, wherever I aim it is the picture it takes. Wherever I aim my life is the picture that it takes. If I expose myself to big things start happening in me. But if I expose myself to bad things or dumb things or little things, that puts a ceiling on my life. Exposure is what God uses. And so we want to expose ourselves. That's when faith, seeing something on the inside. It's amazing what happens. Exposure to something. And when that begins to happen, we begin to see. And the more I see, the bigger my faith begins to come. The first time that we ever went to Nigeria, the first time I ever went anywhere. And in 1988, it was Ginger and I, our kids were little, and I met this individual he was a Nigerian, Benson Idahosa. And he was considered the guy that broke the nation of Nigeria. Nigeria's got some of the biggest churches in the world today, and he broke that thing open with the gospel. He was the first African that ever graduated from Christ for the Nation's Bible College in Dallas, Texas. And when he was graduating, he brought a measuring tape. And the founders of that institute said, Benson, what are you doing? He said, I'm measuring your facility because I'm going back to Africa to build a bigger one. He had a 50,000 member church. So I met him. He said, you must come to Africa. The Nigerians are very demonstrative. I said, I'll go. I didn't even know what I was getting into. And so I took the kids. I remember going through an American airport and there was a sign said, do not travel to Lagos, Nigeria. I said, it's too late now. I already got the plane. I already got the ticket. Ended up in Amsterdam. From Amsterdam, I ended up in Lagos. I got in that airport. We got to the airport at midnight. Couldn't get out of the airport. It took me 2 hours to get out of the airport. That's another story. I finally got out. The next morning, I pulled back the curtain of this hotel room, and I stared outside, and I couldn't believe it. I said, my God, this is amazing. Got in a vehicle. Somebody picked us up, drove to Benin City. I stood in front of 15,000 church leaders and pastors and people, and and he put his robes. I had African robes on me. Grabbed me a microphone. I went nuts. I said, "I've come to light you on fire." And his wife, Margaret, looked at me afterwards, and she grabbed the mic. She says, "Brother, you are not a white man. You are a black man in a white man's body." And I thought, my God, I found my identity. I'm African, and I never knew it. I wore the robes for 2 solid weeks after I got home. Couldn't get them off me. I went crazy. I saw something. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? I saw something. I saw something that I'd never seen. It exploded faith on the inside of me. Something was birthed. Something was born. What can I do with it? I got to do something. Faith. It happens like that. Ginger and I met in one of her dad's meetings a long time ago. And back then, when we met, to make a phone call cost money. So we wrote letters. I wrote a letter. I mailed it. It took 2 days to get. She lived in another state, El Paso. She lived in Texas. I lived way up in the mountains. And so she would get my letter. She would then write back and write me a letter and come to me. And so the whole it took 5 days back and forth. 5 days. 5 days. We're just barely getting to know each other. Write letters. And so I would anticipate her letter. And in order for me to get her letter, I didn't have a mailbox. I lived with my mother in the mountains. I had to leave the house. I had to walk down a steep embankment, cross over a highway, walk through a field, cross a creek, go over another road, and standing in front of me was a post office. I would walk up those stairs, I'd open the front door, and I could see P.O. Box 315. It had a glass, it was glass, I mean, a little glass window, and I could see a letter angled. My heart would begin to race. I took my key out, I walked up, I opened it, I pulled the letter out, and I could see it was from Ginger. I opened it. I didn't read the first words. I always went to the final thought because I wanted to see how she signed it. And if she signed it, "Love, Ginger," my heart would rest in its beat because I knew this was still going forward. And then I would go back to the front page and I would begin to read it. At that moment, I had no idea how I crossed that first road, went over the creek, through a field, across a highway, up a steep embankment, back to my mother's house, because I was reading the letter. Now, as I read that letter, I wasn't picking out words. The letter became a picture of the person that wrote the letter. It was creating an image, something inside of me. I was seeing her. When I pick up the Bible, I don't have to look at all the individual words because the book is a letter that depicts the bigness, the greatness, the compassion of the one that wrote it, that's behind it, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see him. And the more I can see him, then the more I'm exposed to him, the more my faith begins to grow. Are you with me so far? Seeing is what changes people. I would challenge anybody. Just see, just open your eyes. See something bigger. When you read this Bible, see a big God. Don't see somebody small. See a big God. Seeing, exposure is what changes us. Then faith. Faith needs a target. Needs a target. It's not just ambiguous. Needs a target. There was an individual by the name of Howard Hill. Howard Hill was considered the greatest archer that ever lived. This guy won 196 consecutive archery tournaments It's amazing. He could put an apple on your head and at 20 meters, shoot it right off your head. When I read that, I always felt sorry. I mean, the one that had to have faith is the guy that put the apple on his head. Trust me. He could split an arrow with an arrow. He used a longbow. And he's never been beaten. However, with my expertise, I can have you in 15 minutes beating Howard Hill. You're looking at me right now, wondering how I can do that, provided that I first blindfold Howard Hill, spin him in circles. And you'd say, that's ridiculous. How can you hit a target you can't see? And how can you have faith without something you can see? You have to see something. Faith without hope, a picture of where it's going, becomes hopeless. To say I have faith is wonderful, but faith in what? Got to have a target. Something I'm aiming at. Something I'm believing God for. Something I'm reaching out for. God, we can do this. I've been in ministry for over 41 years. I could remember building after building. And this is just my story. You're going to have your own story, but my story. I can remember when we bought any land we ever, the first land we bought, it was too small, so we moved off of it. But the first piece of land we bought before we ever put a building there, I'd go there all the time. I'd pray in the Spirit. With my eyes, I could see the building. I'd see it full, packed. See multiple services. Hour after hour after hour after hour. I would find out in my mind, I would kind of imagine where the platform was going to be. It's just nothing but weeds and woods. And I could imagine where it's going to be. And I'd stand there by myself. And I'd preach. Nothing out there. I'd preach. And I could see it. I could see the chairs. That's why God gives you an imagination. I could see the chairs. I could see them overflowing. I could see people clamoring to get in. I could see the power of God falling, lives being changed. I kept seeing it. I wouldn't let up. And I'd pray in the Spirit. I'd pray. That's why God gives you a prayer language. I'd pray in the Spirit. Every time I pray in tongues, my imagination goes, I begin to see things. And that faith inside would start coming. I start to percolate. Well, pretty soon the building was built. The seats, it was initially a 500-seat auditorium. We filled it up. I mean, jammed the thing out. Then we went into another service. Then it wasn't big enough. So we knocked out a wall, created a width expansion, put 800 seats inside of it. And I could see that full. God, it's going to be full. The children's area. I could see lives being changed. Are you with me? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I kept on seeing it. And I can go on and on and on. Then we bought 15 acres of land. And I can remember I'd take the guys with me, our pastoral team, and we'd go over there at least twice a week, and we would walk. It was just dirt, just nothing but dirt, and I would walk. It was a big piece of land, and I'd say, we're just going to walk back and forth, and I'd walk back, my eyes closed, just walk back and forth, hour after hour, praying in tongues, and I'd say, and I could see the building, I could see this building, I'd see multiple buildings being built, and I said, God, we're going to fill it up, and then I said, we're bigger than this, we're going to touch the world from here, we're going to reach the world, we're going to create a missions work that's going to spread out beyond this, and I kept seeing, I'm telling you, you don't have to have the money. God will bring the money. We always had insufficient funds, but I kept seeing it. Are you with me so far? What is it? Where are you? Expose yourself. Don't refuse to live. Be a wandering generality like the children of Israel that walked for 40 years in a circle when it takes 11 days to go from Egypt to the promised land. Get a focus somewhere and say, God made me for something bigger than what I am today. And then pray and see it and don't let up on it. See it until the thing percolates, until you're impregnated with this thing. It's on the inside of you. And it's going to come. Listen, I don't care if it's a year from now, 10, it's going to come out. Right. It's the spirit of faith. Come on. Don't let up on it and see it and see it and see the nations. Listen, I've been doing this to this very day. I said, I'll tell you where I'm at right now. I'm seeing the nation of Iran. Every day I have a map. I have a map in my office and I go and I look at it. And every day I pray. I just start praying in tongues. God, we're going to 100,000 leaders, 100,000. I'm calling it 100,000. We're going to train 100,000 leaders and capture a harvest of 25 million people. And we're going to shift, see the balance of the Middle East shifted. Number one sponsor of terrorism, number one enemy of Israel. Not for long. We're going to see that thing change. 100,000. I'm seeing 100,000. And I'm not going to, I don't care if it takes 10 years. I'm not going to let up. That's the spirit of faith. You refuse to stop. You refuse to let up. Thing begins to burn on the inside of you. Every time you find a thing waning, jump back in. Pray in the spirit again. You know, that thing starts percolating. See it done inside your mind. See it done with the eye of faith. See in your imagination the completion of the thing. Wherever you are, see it. See it. Doing my best to get there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you're single and you want to get married, see yourself married. See God bringing a wonderful individual into your life. Tremendous marriage. Don't see a bad marriage. See a great marriage. You live from the inside out, not from the outside in. Just see it. And then, one more thought. The Bible, you have to mix faith. I'm talking about it. I'm going to put the whole thing together. In Mark chapter 11. Verse 23 and verse 24 says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to the mountain, you'll never be a mountain mover until you stop becoming a mountain builder. Right. Don't build problems. Knock them down. The Bible says the mountains and the hills will break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The world always gets out of the way for the man or the woman that knows where they're going in life. Say to the mountains, be thou and be removed, be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say will come to pass, and you'll have whatsoever you say. The word saying is three times. The word believing is only one time. You got to speak it. You got to say it. You got to give voice to that thing, energy to that thing. God gave energy to his faith. He spoke things into existence. It was on the inside, then he released it. Whatever on the inside, start saying it. This is what we're doing. We're doing it. Speak in a tense that it's happening right now. Even though nobody else can see it, it's happening on the inside. And then he said in Mark 11, 24, what things soever you desire. If you don't have a desire, it'll never happen. You got to burn with desire. You got to ignite. What do you desire? When you pray, believe that you receive it. That means see yourself with it. And you shall have it. Several years ago, I think about 8 years ago when they diagnosed you? They diagnosed my wife with cancer about 8 years ago. And boy, I tell you, it was hard. I mean, I was floored. It knocked all the wind out of my sail. It's like somebody hit me in the stomach. You know, Ginger was much stronger than I was. She came back, told me, and I thought, I was totally flat. You know what I mean? I mean, all the wind's out of me. And I remember going to my garage, and I just sat there. And I thought, my God, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And we didn't want to go a conventional route because that was our personal choice. So she went down to Mexico to a guy named Dr. Rubio, because I read about this guy. They called him he was in Tijuana, Mexico, the Tijuana Tumor Terminator. He's Christian. And I thought, with a reputation like that, I could put some faith in that. So she got on an airplane, flew to San Diego. They picked her up, drove across the border to Mexico. People think you're crazy. But my wife looked at Dr. Rubio, and everything I'm telling you, she expressed. She said, we're going to kill this thing. We're going to kill it. Every cell, every cancer cell in my body will die. It'll die. It's about as big as an orange when she went down there. 2 weeks, it was that big. In 4 weeks, it had dissipated completely. After 8 years ago, she saw that thing dying. She spoke it. She saw it. She believed it. She saw it. She spoke it. She believed it. I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to declare the glory of God. This thing's dying on the inside. There's no cancer that's stronger than faith. There's no disease that's stronger than faith. There's no obstacle that's stronger than faith in God. And when it impregnates your heart and it builds within you, You'll say to that mountain, whatever that mountain is, we're going to get you. Listen, we're going over you. We're going to blow you up. We're going to over you, under you, around you. But you will not stand in our way. When you and I get that determined, things begin to happen. Because the desire to live, the desire to go forward, the desire to do something becomes so strong that it creates within our imagination a vivid picture. And then our mouth begins to join it. Those are the three elements that create the spirit of faith. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.